In your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs chapter 18. And in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 685. Make that 84, 684. We'll read the first 10 verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Take special note of the 10th verse, the text verse. And may we stand, please, together for the reading of God's Word. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And let's pray. Bless now, we pray, dear Father, this service. We've looked forward to it. We've been blessed so often in this place and in this particular time for the service, the evening service. Thank you for giving us this time together, this place in which we can gather, the freedom which permits us to be here, and how we pray that you would bless in the preaching and the hearing of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Read for you my text tonight. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The text is that first little line there. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I could call my message tonight any number of things. He is what you need, I could call it. I could call it the name of Jehovah. There are several different things that I could give as a title for the message tonight. It is not a spectacular message, but I think it's a blessed, sweet truth. And I think if you listen very carefully, I think your heart will be strangely warmed by God's amazing revelation of His own name to us. This message tonight is for those who love to think. If you came tonight to be entertained, probably you may be disappointed. You came tonight to holler amen because I'm preaching against your favorite pet sins, you probably were disappointed. If you came tonight to think on things of God, I think you will not be disappointed. As I speak tonight on He is what you need, or the name Jehovah, or you fill in the blanks, I think you'll find the title descriptive as we pursue this truth. Father, bless this preacher and this people as once again on our journey to heaven we stop to meet and to think on things eternal. Thank you for this truth tonight. And I pray you'd help us to rejoice in it and receive help from it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll follow me very, very carefully as I lay the foundation, the names of God in the Old Testament are very, very interesting. There are two main ones given. One is the word Elohim, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar at all. In fact, I've never had any Hebrew. I took Greek in college, but never took any Hebrew. And I've fiddled with it a little bit, trying to acquaint myself just a tiny bit with it, but I there's no way I know Hebrew. But the Greek word, the Hebrew word Elohim is the, for example, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The word God there is the word Elohim. That's the three in one, plurality God, one God in three revelations, plural in singular. Elohim is the great, mighty, creative name, or creator name of God. In the beginning, Elohim. That's the sort of the impersonal name of God in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It had nothing to do with you and me. He made it for us, but no personal contact or interaction between God and his people there. In the beginning, God. And that's the word Elohim. That's the creator name of God. Now, there's a second word, name, that is used predominantly in the Bible, and that's the word Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is the personal name for God. When God is mentioned as a personal God, the word Jehovah. For example, the word Jehovah in the Old Testament is akin to the word Jesus in the New Testament. The honest truth is that Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament revealed in the flesh. But so the word Jehovah is the personal kind of a word that God uses when talking about himself in the Old Testament. For the message tonight, I'm going to focus on the second one. We're going to just leave the word Elohim and not return to it. I'm going to focus on the second one, and that's the word Jehovah. Now, it is most interesting. The word Jehovah, the word Jehovah is never associated with any distinguishing adjective or pronoun. For example, you may find in the Bible living Elohim. When it says the living God, you may find living Elohim, but you'll never find living the living Jehovah. You may find in the Bible the words the Elohim, but you'll never find the Jehovah. You may find in the Bible my Elohim, but never my Jehovah. For no distinguishing adjective or pronoun is ever connected in all the Old Testament with the name Jehovah, always with the name Elohim. Now here's the message. Listen carefully. The word Jehovah in the Bible is composed of only four consonants. There are no vowels. No A's, E, I, O, U. Four consonants. Now, the rest of the word Jehovah, the vowels are filled in by the individual, according to his need. For example, you'll find sometimes in the Old Testament, Jehovah is mentioned, our provider, God, our provider, or God, our helper, or God, our strength. But all of those words are the word Jehovah with its four consonants given to us by God, and the vowels filled in by the individual according to what he needs. Now, the individual's need was determined or shown by the vowels he added to the four consonants. Now, this teaches me something. This teaches me that God, Jehovah God, is not complete without my needs. There's no way that Jehovah, even his name, is not complete without my needs. A person cannot be a mother unless there's a child. That's a fabulous statement, wasn't it? You think about that. You don't get deep things like that in most churches on Sunday night. But you can't say, I'm going to be a mother tomorrow. Because the relationship of mother is dependent upon the having of a child. Same thing is true about brother. You can't say, I'm going to be a brother. It takes another brother or a sister to make a brother. You can't decide unilaterally that all of a sudden you're going to become a sister. It takes another sister or a brother. And just as a brother is always a plural word. It implies another brother or sister. You understand? Mother is always a plural word. It implies a child. Are you listening to me? That means that to be a mother is dependent on having a child. And to be a brother is dependent upon having a brother or a sister. To be a sister is dependent upon having a brother or a sister. And to be God, Jehovah God, is dependent upon having subjects and people who have needs. You see, God was not complete without our needs. And so, without our needs, you got four consonants lined up here, no vowels. And so we, as His people, call Him Jehovah, God. We place in between those vowels, those consonants, our own vowels. And that means that God is not complete without me. You see, there can be no king without subjects. Now, you can't be a God without followers. And there can be no helper without the helped. And so God is please don't misunderstand this, and I'm a little afraid to say it. But the Godship of God is dependent on me. Were there no me or you, there'd be no God. Because God is a personal God, and God needs us. Now, what does God need us for? God needs us to need Him. And since God needs us to need Him, He writes His name, Jehovah, and lets us fill in the blank about what our needs are or what our need is. Now, illustration. God came to Abraham and said to Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a boy. And through that boy, I'm going to bring the Messiah, and a great nation shall come from that boy. You recall the story. Sarah got 90 years of age. Abraham got 100. And the boy wasn't there. When Sarah was 90, she got pregnant. And God gave Abraham and Sarah the son of promise, Isaac. Now, Isaac was the one through whom God was going to bless the world by Abraham. And Isaac was the one that God was going to use as the seed to bear the seed of the promised Messiah. Now, when Isaac got a certain age, God came to Abraham and said, take Isaac, my only son Isaac, to a place where I will show thee, called Mount Moriah, and offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Abraham did not question God. I mean, brother, when God said do it, now, but Abraham must have said, how can it be? God had promised that Isaac would carry the seed of the Messiah. And God had promised that the whole world would be blessed through Isaac, and a great nation would come through Isaac. Brother, you don't have to figure out God. You just obey God. When God said to Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, the Bible says Abraham just took Isaac, took off Mount Moriah, and to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, they get to Mount Moriah. And here's Abraham. Here's his son Isaac. And Isaac says, Father, here's the altar, and here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh. He filled in his own need to those four little vowels and added his vowel consonants and added his own vowel and said, Jehovah
Jireh. Now why? Because the word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord can see. The Lord can see. Now there are those who would say it means the Lord provides or can provide, and that's not wrong either, but basically it means the Lord can see. Now hear me. Abraham said, Isaac, Jehovah Jireh. I cannot see what the sacrifice, and you cannot see the sacrifice, but God can see the sacrifice. And you recall the story how that a ram caught in the bushes, and God said, take the ram and put the ram on the altar and let Isaac live. And Abraham was saying, what I need right now is a God who provides. And so Abraham said, God, my seer, God, my provider. Now tonight, I'm talking to somebody in this room. You can't see the way. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, the clouds are blocking the way. And the nighttime is keeping you. You can't see your way through. There's a wilderness in front of you. You don't know what you're going to do. Okay? Then what you need is Jehovah Jireh. God can see. You don't have to see as long as God can see. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Now, you forget seeing. God can see. And tonight, if you're facing the wall and you do not know how you're going to get through that wall, you just say, you call on Jehovah Jireh. My God can see. And you fill in that part. You add that to Jehovah's name, and it is Jehovah's name. The name Jehovah is never completed in the Bible without the help of man. And man takes the name, the incompleted name of Jehovah, and writes beside or in that incompleted name of Jehovah his own needs, and that becomes Jehovah's name. You know what my God's name is tonight? My God can see. If you cannot see the way through, God can see. And by the way, I had rather God to see and me not to see than for God not to see and me to see. So Isaac was about placed on the altar. And Abraham, Isaac said, Father, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham, knowing that this was his son of promise, he loved him dearly. And he, through him was the Abraham's chance to carry the Messianic seed and to bless the whole world, to start a nation, would come the Messiah. And Abraham said, as he looked at the wall, he said, Son, I can't see, but God can see. As he looked at the shadows, he said, Son, I can't see, but God can see. As he looked at midnight, he said, I cannot see, but God can see. And he said, Son, you cannot see, but God can see. And God will provide himself as a sacrifice. What Abraham was saying, Son, God, he wasn't saying God will provide a sacrifice. He was looking down through the telescope of prophecy, and he was saying, Son, someday God himself will be the real sacrifice. And whatever sacrifice we offer on this altar right now is not the real sacrifice. There's only a symbol of it. But someday God will come in the flesh. And God, the Bible said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. And Abraham looked down the telescope prophecy. Abraham saw Calvary. And he said, Son, I don't know about this altar here, but there's one thing I do know. The day is going to come when God in the flesh will go up the hill of Golgotha, and he will bear our sins in his body, and the little lamb or ram or yourself even, son, that is offered on this altar will be but a symbol of the great sacrifice when God himself becomes sacrifice for man's sin. Abraham looked and saw Calvary and said, every turtle dove that has given its last little sound, every lamb that's bleated its last noise, every goat that's been given as an offering, every ram or bullock that's been given as an offering is but a sign of the great and God-satisfactory offering to be given on the cross of Calvary. And so God said, Abraham said to God, to Isaac, he said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord can see, and the Lord will provide. And tonight, I'm talking to dozens of people in this room. You don't know how to face tomorrow. You dread to get up tomorrow morning. You hate to face the problems. You don't know how you're going to make it. But let me tell you something. You don't have to know. He knows. You don't have to see. He sees. You don't have to provide. He provides. You just write in there beside those little four consonants, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord can see. Let's go to another story in the Bible. Are you listening? Let's go to the story of Moses. Moses is on the mountain. Down at the foot of that mountain, you have the enemy. A little untrained group of Hebrew children have a battle to fight. And the mighty host of the enemy, well trained and well armed, are prepared to fight against God's people. Two men get on either side of Moses to lift up his hands. One is named Aaron, the other is named H-U-R, Hur. And so Moses' hands are lifted up. And when Moses' hands are lifted up, the enemy is defeated. But when the men of God cease to hold up the hands of Moses, then the enemy wins the victory. So when the people of God hold up the hands of God's man, victory comes. The people of God do not hold up the hands of God's man, defeat comes. And so Moses is there, and the enemy is in the valley, and Moses on the mountaintop. Little untrained group of Jews are fighting the battle of their lives. Moses, here's Jehovah's four consonants. What do you need, Moses? And Moses says, Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. What does that mean? That's Jehovah my banner. Jehovah our banner. Jehovah the captain that goes in front of us. Jehovah the leader that gives the victory. Jehovah the general of the army that whom we follow. Now listen, that's as much the word Jehovah as Jehovah Jireh was. He was the name of Jehovah. And the name of Jehovah is never complete in the Bible. Man completes the name of Jehovah according to his own need. And just as Abraham said, the Lord can see, I can't, but Jehovah can see. And Moses comes along and says, the Lord is our banner. Now, I'm talking to folks tonight in this room who've got battles to fight. You don't know how you're going to win. I mean, you're facing an insurmountable enemy. You don't know how. I'll tell you how. Jehovah, our banner. He shall fight your battles. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, says Isaiah 54, 17, isn't it? And, but no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. From over hill and vale, there comes a signal trail. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. And so our loyalty is to Him. The battles come. And we say, and Jehovah says, here I am, here are my consonants, what do you need? And I say, dear God, I need a banner. I need a general. I need victory in the battle. God comes and answers Moses and gives a mighty sweeping victory to Moses. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, God is whatever your need is. I don't know what your need is. If you're fighting a battle tonight, He is the banner. And if tonight you are facing the wall and you can't see your way through and you've got burdens and problems and you don't know how you're going to make it, then He is your seer. Jehovah can see. Jehovah our banner. Jehovah our provider. I don't know what your need is, but I know one thing. I know God left a blank for you to fill in. And He will become whatever you need if you just make your order. Just write it out. God said, here's my name. You finish it. Boy, this is great. God says, okay, here are four consonants, and here's a blank. Now, here's the menu. You just fill in the blank, turn it into me, and I'll become what you have written there. Do you need direction through wilderness? Then write Jehovah Jireh. The Lord can see. Do you need provision? Write Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Do you need victory in the battle? Write Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our general, the Lord our leader, the Lord our captain, the Lord our fighter, the Lord our victory. Write it in. Whatever you need, He's got it. He is whatever you need. So you just say, okay, okay. Here's a lady just got married. So she writes a note. She needs some food. And so she says, dearest darling provider. And gives it to the hubby. She needs some smooching. And she says, dearest darling lover. She needs some encouragement. She says, dearest darling strength. She's afraid. She says, dearest darling protector. And you know what? When a guy just got married, if she just puts that dearest darling there, whatever she puts next, he'll become it. And that's what God says here. God says, here's my name, four consonants. You fill in the vowels and you write in my name what you need. And I not only will be what you need, but my name will be the name of what you need. Let's go a step further. Gideon. I like Gideon. Gideon was a runt kid of the runt family of the runt tribe of the runt nation of the world. He was a runt. He was introverted, had an inferiority complex. Mainly because he was inferior. Sucked his thumb. I'm reading in the Hebrew now. He sucked his thumb. One day he was threshing wheat, but he was so timid he was hiding behind a wine press, threshing wheat. But there's a battle to be fought. Conflict was coming. And an angel of God came. The angel of God came to Gideon and said, all hail, thou mighty man of valor. And you check the next three words Gideon said. He said, oh, my Lord, I, a mighty man of valor, I'm so timid, I'm threshing my wheat, hiding behind the wine press. And God said, Gideon, I've got a battle for you to fight. I'm going to take a big army of people and let you narrow it down to be a little handful of people. And I'm going to let you take those people and defeat the mighty army. And Gideon rises to take over that army. Now, Gideon's a peace lover. He's not a general. He's no fighter. He's a peace-loving farmer by trade, not used to war, not accustomed to war. And Gideon stands up and says, okay, I'll do it. And God said, Gideon, write in here what you want me to be. Write my name, and I'll become what you call me, Jehovah. Gideon writes in, Jehovah will send peace. Jehovah will send peace. And God comes tonight to you and me. And no two of us has the same problem. And no two of us has the same burden. And no two of us has the same need. But I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, from that one up there in the back of that balcony sitting there, and that back of that balcony, to that one up there in the corner, up here, and from that one back there to that one over here, and every single person in this room, the Lord God in heaven has a name that will supply your need, and He will become your need. And He says, just call me Jehovah, the general. If you need to win a battle, call me Jehovah, the seer. If you can't see, call me Jehovah, the provider. If you can't provide, and Gideon says, Jehovah, the peace. He said, Jehovah will bring peace. Just fit it in. Just fit it in. Illustration. Jeremiah in the dungeon in prison. Can see no way out. By the way, he was not supposed to be in the dungeon. injustice put him in jail. A wicked decision of justice and a breach of righteousness put him in jail. And now here's Jeremiah in the dungeon of prison. And he can see no way. He can see no justice. And Jeremiah in prison stands up and shouts, Jehovah our righteousness. What did he mean? He meant Jehovah will see to it that eventually justice will come. So you've been mistreated by somebody. Don't you fight back. Just trust Jehovah our justice. So somebody's done you wrong. Get back at them. Listen, you have no more right to get back at them than Brother Ray Young has leading this choir tonight. It's not Brother Ray Young's job to lead this choir. It's this fellow right here, whatever his name is, Ray Boardway's job to lead this choir. It's not your job. And it's not your job to seek vengeance against your enemies. It's not your job to say, I'll get him back. You just call in Jehovah our justice. And you write that. Lord, hey, dear Jehovah our justice. Lord says, justice coming up. Jehovah, I can't see my way clear. Jehovah, my vision. Vision coming up. Jehovah, I'm in a battle. The banner coming up. Jehovah, I've been wrongly treated. Justice coming up. And that means that you let God get back at your enemies. And you let God fight your battle. God can see to it that justice prevails better than you can see to it that justice prevails, because you and I, our justice is tainted by two things. One, tainted by selfishness, and two, tainted by the flesh. We don't always know what justice is. We're not concerned about justice. We're concerned about ourselves getting justice. We're not concerned about everybody in this room being just. We're concerned about me getting justice. So, you forget it. If you need justice, if you need vengeance, you just call Jehovah our righteousness. You just fill in the blank and order what you want to order. When God sees His name as you write it, God responds by being what His name says He is. You understand that? Illustration. Ezekiel was in Babylon. Israelites had been taken for 70 years of captivity. For 490 years they had not observed the Sabbath. And God decides to send them all to captivity and get all his Sabbaths at one time, 70 years in captivity. He takes just two groups of the Israelites. He takes the very, very wealthy and takes Daniel as their leader, a prophet. He takes the middle class, or the craftsman, and takes Ezekiel as their prophet, and leaves the poor people, and leaves Jeremiah as their prophet. Ezekiel is on the riverbank. The people are hundreds of miles from home. The sacred temple's been destroyed. Their houses have been leveled to the ground. Ezekiel is away from home. He's ministering and prophesying to a defeated people. The people in Babylon had heard of their music and said, sing us a song. And they said, we can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And these Jews, who were excellent harpists, had hung their harpists on their harps on the willow trees and would not play and would not sing. Ezekiel went and sat where the people sat. The Bible says for 7 days he sat there. And I love what Ezekiel said. God said, Ezekiel, just add to my name here and place your order. I'll be what you need. Ezekiel takes the name of these four consonants and writes, fills in the vowels and writes this, Jehovah Shema. What does it mean? The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Ezekiel said, dear God, I need you here. I cannot go to the temple and know that you're inside the temple in the Holy of Holies, hovering in that Shekinah glory over the mercy seat. I cannot go there. We've been expelled from the country and the temple is leveled. There's no mercy seat. There's no Holy of Holies. There's no holy place. There's no Jerusalem where we can go to worship. We have no holy land. We have no Mount of Olives. We have no Gethsemane's Garden. We have no Mount Tabor. We have no Mount Hermon. We have no Jordan River. We're here in the land of Babylon, 500 miles or more from home. And 500 miles a long ways. If you don't, I can't fly an airplane, drive a car, catch a bus, get a train. That's a long walk, 500 miles. Ezekiel said, we're lonely. My people won't sing. He said, dear God, let me know that you're here. And he says, I'm going to write your name. And dear, Jehovah is here. And Jehovah said, I'll be there. Because you filled in the blank. Jehovah is here. Is your place a barracks in a naval station? Jehovah is there. Do you lie to rest in a penitentiary somewhere? Did you recently? Or do you have some loved one who goes to sleep tonight behind the bars in a cell? Have him call Jehovah Shema. Jehovah is here. Tonight, do you dwell in a little shack in the ghetto somewhere? Or a little rat-infested apartment with cockroaches fellowshipping with you on every side? Jehovah is here. Do you dwell alone tonight? When you go to your house, you go in the house alone. There's nobody there at all but you. Jehovah is here. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this tonight, and I'm coming toward the end, but let me say this tonight. God is what you need. Fill in the blanks. Are you weak tonight? Are you too weak to face tomorrow? Write in the words, Jehovah, my strength. Are you lonely tonight? Do you have a hard time finding fellowship and friends come very scarce for you? And you walk alone most of your life? Then write in, Jehovah, my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus is the friend you need. Such a friend is He indeed. He who knoweth every tear, He can drive every fear. Jesus is the friend you need. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. Write in what you need. He's exactly what you need. If tonight you're afraid, call on Jehovah courage. If tonight you're sad, call on Jehovah is joy. If tonight you're bereaved, call on Jehovah is comfort. I can see her now. Becky would say, Daddy, isn't your hair getting thicker? And I would say, well, maybe. Maybe. And, Daddy, you know what I like about you? You're the most generous man in the whole world. You know, strange thing about that. Linda was always a little better girl than Becky was. Becky had the colic till she was 3 months old. Linda never even stayed awake at night. But Becky got two dresses or three out of every one Linda got for me because Becky knew how to handle me. You know, God's that way. You walk up to God and say, hey, big, strong God, you with a mighty arm, God says, that's me. What if, let me ask you a question. If God not proud of His strong arm, why did God put in His Word His arm was strong? He wanted you to know it. Yeah. I mean, brother, I thank God for that beef right there. And I want you to see that. It's not here for your harm. It's here for your protection. And God can be buttered up. Daddy, you know what I like about you? What's that, Puddin'? Your generosity. You're so generous. Well, thank you. You're the most generous man I ever saw. I know. Thank you. Well, Daddy, you are so unselfish. Well, thank you. You know what? Their other daddies don't buy their girls dresses when they ask for one. I think I'm caught. And God's that way. That's one reason why in the Old Testament, when people came to ask God for something, they buttered him up. With his mighty arm smote the Red Sea and dried it up. God said, that's me, okay, buddy. I'm the one. You know, you butter God up, you'll get more from him. I didn't know this. Becky and Linda and Cindy were home at the same time. I got the van here at the church and got Brother Larry to drive me, and I decided to take the girls and buy them a dress. Maybe a 1995 dress, a piece. We got in the van, and the girls were sitting behind me. And of course, as you can see from the back, you can see my hair is getting thicker all the time. The choir will testify for that about that. And Linda said, Daddy, your hair. Are you wearing a toupee? I said, Puddin', do you think if I bought a toupee, I'd buy this one? And Becky said, well, Daddy, now all the time we're going to Rosalie's. And Becky said, Dad, Linda's right. You're definitely growing more hair. Well, it was at nighttime, and I had the light on inside of the van, and I looked at the mirror and saw myself in the reflection. I believe they're right. It was nighttime, you know. I believe they're right. And Cindy said, they're right, Daddy. They're right. Do you know what I did? I bought each one of those girls 3 dresses. It took me months to pay off that bill. You know why? Because they came and said, Daddy Jerry. Daddy Provider, Daddy. Daddy, my wonderful provider. And God says, let me be what you need. Do you need to see the way? Do you face the wall? Do you face the wilderness? Just right. Fill in the blank and write, Jehovah can see. And I'll look past the clouds. And I'll look through the mist. And I'll look on the other side of the wall. And I'll see for you. And you can trust me. Everything's going to work out okay. My Lord knows the way. Sing it. Through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is strength for today. Strength for is mine all the way. Mine all that I need for tomorrow. Jehovah Jireh. Lord knows the way through. He can see. All I have to do is follow. A lot of people tonight don't see how you can make it. But you don't have to see how you... I don't see how I can get through school. You don't have to. Just call for Jehovah can see. And he'll let you, he'll take you through school. Well, how can I make it through the recession? I don't see how in the world I can do it. I just call for Jehovah can see. Fill in the blank. But I'm rearing the kids by myself. My husband's dead or he's gone. I don't know how they're going to make it. I just sometimes want to throw up my hands. Don't throw up your hands. Fill in the blank. Jehovah can see. And if you're fighting a battle tonight, and many of you are, and you don't have the strength to win, you just write, Jehovah, our banner. Jehovah, my warrior. Jehovah, my general. Jehovah, my captain. And as soon as he sees that word captain, that word general, he takes off his Clark Kent suit. And with one leap, jumps over buildings.
and he becomes Jehovah, our general. But if you're sad tonight, if you're sad tonight, you say, Jehovah, my joy. He takes off his stars off his shoulder, stacks his arms, hangs up his saber, and comes and says, put your head on my shoulder, and let me give you joy. Tonight, if you're away from home, and you're thinking about the church back home tonight, and you'd like to back home and see your folks tonight, and you're a bit lonely, and you go to the dormitory room maybe, or you go to your barracks maybe tonight, you're a bit lonely, why don't you just fill in the blank? Jehovah is here. And as soon as he sees that, he comes to see you. He wears so many hats, he'll become anything you need. You just write his name, fill in the blank, and he'll come. Look, folks, I'm no spring chicken. I'm an old rooster. I'm no spring chicken. I've been around a while. Underneath this shirt you see is an amazing physique. Well, it's covered a little bit by excess baggage. I'm preparing for winter. That's funny, isn't it? But underneath this shirt tonight, there are a few battle scars. And I've had a few tears trickle down these cheeks through these 58 years. And I've seen a lot of days when I couldn't see my hand in front of me and didn't know the way through. But let me tell you something. I stand to testify tonight. Everything I've ever needed, I found in Jesus. He's what you need. He's what you need. I'll guarantee you. And he's even left off the vowels of his name so that God's name Jehovah could not even be completed without your name of him and your description of him. So you go back to your home tonight or to your room and you just think, now what is my need tonight? And then you write on a little piece of paper somewhere and hold it up and say, Jehovah, my tuition. Jehovah, you single guys, my wife, giver. My wife, giver. You single gals, Jehovah, my miracle worker. My husband, provider. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. God has even so arranged his name so when you call on him, you can call on him according to what your need is, and name him by your need. And as soon as God sees and hears what you call him, God becomes the supplier of the need that you've placed in his name. Now, wait a minute. God's honor is here. Did you ever stop to think that God's honor is in his name? And when God gave you a carte blanche or a blank check or a power of attorney, please don't misunderstand this, and I hate to say it almost, but it's true. To make him what you need him to be. His name is at stake. You fill in the blank, and he'll become whatever you... Now here's the tragic thing. We have this available, but don't make the... We have all of God's promises available, but don't cash in on them. I have that little song sang a while ago. Oh, what need we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Daddy, my allowance giver,
Okay, I know I forgot. Here it is.
Becky used to say, Daddy, can I have a new dress?
Honey, no.
I haven't got any money. Well, Daddy, when you get some money, can I have a new dress?
Well, of course.
How much money would you have before I got a new dress?
Well, if I got $50, I'd buy you a new dress.
Daddy, will you give me a new dress as soon as you get $50?
Yes, I will.
Would you write it down here, please? Okay, if you'll leave me alone. I, Jack Hiles, will buy you a new dress as soon as I get $50. Take it. I signed it. A few days have passed. Daddy, did you get paid today?
Sure.
Yeah, I paid. How much did you make?
None of your business.
Was it more than $50?
Well, of course it's more than $50.
Did you write that? Oh, brother. What a fool I am. Okay. I'm ready, Daddy. Dear God, would you help me when I get weak? Would you see me through the battle when I'm in a battle? Yes, I will. Would you write it down? When the battle comes, would you write this?
Yeah.
What you going to do about it? I'm going to do what I said. So you just take the word Jehovah and you call him whatever you need him to be. And he'll be whatever you call him. He awaits your direction. And your direction is what you put in his name. Our Heavenly Father,